Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
It's 8:04, coming up at 8:05, 55KRC, the talk station. Brian Thomas right here, glad to be and very pleased to welcome back to the 55KRC Morning Show. We've had him on before. His name, Greg Lawson. He's with the Buckeye Institute, which you can find online at buckeyeinstitute.org. And that is an organization, an independent research and educational institution, a think tank, mission to advance free market public policy in states on a variety of things, including the education system. Greg, great to have you on the program. Welcome back, and a very happy new year to you, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. Happy new year to you, too.
I posed this sort of rhetorical question this morning in anticipation of your joining the program in connection with the lawsuit that was filed by about 100 or so public school districts against the state of Ohio regarding the Ed Choice program, which provides some tax dollars to individuals so they can choose which school they want to go to. It's a form of school choice. And I said, listen, if you're a parent, And you already are a parent, you know that your children are the nearest and dearest thing to your heart. You want nothing but the best for them. And if you're in a failing public school system or in a failing school period, don't you think you would like to be able to move your child easily with the tax dollars that have been allocated to your child and take them anywhere you damn well want to in order to get a better education for them? Who could be against that concept? Then I guess public school unions. What is the argument made by people who think that choice, insofar as education is concerned, is a bad thing?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think public school unions. I think the whole notion of the public school system has become so much the focus of those that work in it that they can't realize what these other opportunities are. And I think, first of all, this lawsuit is unconscionable. If they were victorious and basically stopping the Ed Choice program, which is the largest voucher program in Ohio, over 50,000 students are using it, they're essentially saying we want to shut this down and make all those 50,000 students go back into school districts. There's no guarantee that the districts are ready for an influx. I mean, we don't even, right now, school districts are struggling with COVID and shutdowns, and some schools, districts, don't even know where their students are anyway right now, ever exactly. Since COVID happened, and so you're going to throw all these kids back. It's ridiculous.
Well, they're also struggling with declining enrollment, and I go back to my conversation earlier this week with Betsy Sunderman, who took her children out of the public schools because they were doing remote learning and chose to, you know, tighten the belt several notches, I'm sure, and put them into private education where they would actually go to school and get the benefit of in-class learning. I understand that decision-making, but she doesn't get the benefit of the tax dollars that were going to the public schools. They got to take that out of their own pocket, I guess, unless they qualify for the Ed Choice program. So that decision is being made by a lot of people independent of whether or not there's a voucher program. No one can prevent anybody from going to a separate school as long as they're willing to pay for it.
Well, but that's the key issue here is, you're right, and even one of the folks at the press conference from the school districts, I think the guy from Columbus, said, hey, look, you know, there's still school choice. Families can still choose to send their kids to another school. They're just going to have to pay for it. And that's true, strictly speaking. The problem is a lot of families don't have the ability to necessarily tighten that belt a few notches. And in particular, the students who can't do that tend to be lower income. Indeed. And oftentimes minority students as well. And so, you know, it's fine and good to say that, but what you're essentially saying is these other students who can avail themselves of this and could only avail themselves of it because of the voucher, that doesn't matter. Because we know they're not going to be able to do it, So, you know, that's why I think it's a very disingenuous argument that they're making.
All right. And the lawyer in me has to ask, upon what legal principle or theory is this group Vouchers Hurt Ohio, I guess the lead plaintiff in this Franklin County Common Pleas Court lawsuit, what theory are they springing from which says that this EdChoice program is unconstitutional?
Well, it's interesting. It's actually really being run by Bill Phyllis, who is the head of a major coalition of public school districts. And you might remember him. He's the guy who actually brought the litigation way back in the 90s, the Roth case, that dealt with the constitutionality of school funding.
Right.
Well, they're basically saying school funding is still unconstitutional, and that actually the vouchers themselves do a couple of things. They create a separate system, not a common system, which is a term that's used in the state constitution. So they say it's violating the state constitution for that reason, and that it is taking money away from the public school system, the common system that, again, the state constitution has, and thus violates the state constitution for that reason.
Well,
the problem that they have with that argument is every dollar, this isn't just about, you know, the voucher system taking money away. Every dollar that isn't going to your public schools through the school funding system or the school funding formula, it's going somewhere else, too. I mean, you could make the same case that we shouldn't spend money on Medicaid or rehabilitation and corrections or any number of other things that the state spends general tax dollars on. Because you could, I mean, you don't have necessarily a constitutional provision that says we have to do Medicaid. So, you know, why aren't they violating the state constitution? Because you're taking money away from them, too. I mean, obviously, I think that's kind of a little bit stretching it. But in a sense, that's the underlying logic that they're using to do that. So I think, again, they're trying to make it a constitutional claim that it's attacking the common school system and that violates the state constitution. I think it's a bogus argument. Fortuitously, there's a number of groups. The Institute for Justice, a great organization. It's a national group. We've worked with them at the Buckeye Institute on a number of issues. They actually are looking to file to intervene with several families that would be negatively impacted. And that's to make a long story short, that allows them to be able to litigate alongside the state of Ohio while defending the program against the lawsuit. I think that's a great thing. We need to get those families out there so we can put the faces of those that will be hurt, probably irrevocably, as a result of what this lawsuit is trying to accomplish.
Well, the definition of common schools, the words common school system, or whatever specifically is in the Constitution, that has not been given a specific definition. And I would guess that if you back away from just that, common schools with common standards, just because you're not a public school does not mean you're not part of a common school system, because even private schools where this voucher money might go are still subject to standards and obligations under state law, aren't they?
They are. If you're taking the EdChoice voucher or any of the other ones, the Cleveland one, for example, that's correct. And, you know, so I think, and that's the real key here is we've long supported the Buckeye Institute going further even than what we currently have. We have a pretty good robust school choice between charter schools, the voucher programs. We have a number of voucher programs. They're not all, and by the way, it's only one program that they're targeting right now. It's the EdChoice, which is the largest of five programs we actually have in the state. We have a robust system. We actually think it should be even more so, especially after this last year with COVID and shutdowns, the controversies over CRT and the school systems and all of these things that have really bubbled to the surface in the last 2 years. We agree 100% with what you were saying at the top of this interview, which is, why shouldn't families just in general? In fact, why shouldn't families in general across the board be able to get access back to some of their money?
Yes.
That they're putting in to be able to make the choices? And so we're a big fan of things like, you've heard about the backpack bill, education savings accounts. Those are the kind of things that we need to try to move to. And, of course, I think, quite frankly, these school districts are nervous about that more and more families are getting waking up to some of the flaws that are out there, the way we do things today. And I think they want to trap people, frankly, into the flawed system.
Yes.
Because they don't want to lose any more than they've already lost.
There you go. And, you know, I'm thinking about all the parents who woke up and realized finally what their children were being taught in class because they were there in the room with their children while the Zoom class is going on. And much to their chagrin and being appalled by what they're hearing, saying, whoa, 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 no, this has got to stop. Like critical race theory, you got more people showing up at the school board saying, wait a minute, what are you teaching my children? Parents actually taking a profound interest in this, which feeds into this notion that we should have choice. I don't know. At least I view that as a positive of COVID anyway, Greg. But I suppose their concern is, the behind-the-scenes concern is, if a voucher program is allowed, then more people will pull their children out of public schools, thus depriving the public school system of resources that keep all of these buildings open. Well, you can change your business model. I'm reminded of the recent restructuring of the Catholic Church. They changed all the dioceses. They consolidated. They changed their business model to deal with an ever-changing reduced number of Catholics. They closed some churches. They consolidated parishes. That's how you react to a reduction in students. The school system could make the same adjustments, could it not?
Well, sure. And that's one of the things you always hear from a lot of them is that, well, we can't do that. But every other business that's out there, if you have less clients or less customers, you know, you don't get to just keep money. And one of the things they won't tell you is they have been on caps and guarantees to the school funding formula for years. Some of that's changed recently with the recent budget. But what that meant was if you had a declining enrollment, you at least got to keep the same amount of money that you had before.
Right.
Even though you were losing students. And so I can't think of any other business that is allowed to do that when you lose the customer base. But they got to do that, and that's another thing. So much of this is the crocodile tears. They don't want to adjust. They don't want to change.
Well,
they don't think they have to.
How about this element? How about this, Greg? They don't want the competition. The competition that would require a higher standard of excellence in teaching so they could actually compete with these schools that are siphoning away or would be siphoning away based on a voucher program.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're a free market think tank because we think in general the free market is what creates the competition to improve a product, a service. I don't think education is immune from that.
Shouldn't
that's why
be.
We're big advocates of school choice, and I think that you're absolutely right. And it's not uncommon. I mean, schools aren't the only one who don't like competition. People like competition until they get the bird's eye view, and then they kind of like to keep it away from everybody else. That seems to be how it works. But that doesn't mean it's right. And when we're talking about kids and we're talking about the future, you look at the shutdowns, you look at the academic performance that's happened due to the COVID shutdowns. We have an entire lost generation of students, frankly.
Yes.
That's probably going to hit. And school choice isn't going to solve that. I'm not going to say that it's going to be the thing that's the silver bullet that's going to make everything okay. It's not. But is it part of the solution? Is it part of something that can help some of those students not stay in that lost generation? I think it's indisputable that it is. And again, I think that's why it's so unconscionable, immoral, really, what these public school districts are trying to do. In order to retain their power or their funding, their money, they're more interested in that.
Yes.
Than what is going to actually affect the future of this country when all those students that have lost opportunities.
Well, and that goes back to my earlier point. Do these organizations, whichever organizations are bringing this suit contesting the validity of this program, do they really truly represent the parents and the students, or are they solely interested in their own bottom line? I think that's an obvious answer to the question. It's almost a rhetorical question, Greg.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they'll trot some families out, you know, and they'll trot some staffing out. They'll trot some people out to say that they'll say this is about the kids. They'll say this is for the children. They'll say this is about the people who made the choice to stay in the public school system, you know, because they know that if they don't say that, they're going to look entirely absurd. But at the end of the day, I think anybody who is discerning and has the ability to look beneath the superficial aspects of their rhetoric, it's obvious. It's all about the greenbacks.
Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. What is the status of the litigation presently? Briefing done? Motion practice? Is it up for argument?
It's actually very early on. They haven't even, my understanding is they haven't even assigned it to the judge yet. So they literally just filed on Monday. So it's still very, very early on. They had their big to-do on Monday about it. But this is a brand new lawsuit.
Okay.
So we don't have any of those details yet, but obviously it'll be forthcoming.
Fair enough. Motion practice begins. Boy, I'd love to say I miss those days, Greg, but after 15 years on radio and not practicing law, I can tell you straight in the face, I'd much rather be on radio than be a practicing lawyer still. So anyway, well, I can't thank you personally and the Buckeye Institute for everything you do in the name of free market, competition, freedom, generally speaking. I wish you the best of luck in your involvement in defense of the voucher program. I can only pray and hope on behalf of all the parents of students out there that more voucher programs become available, and that you prevail in the litigation. And I guess one final question, going back to that earlier lawsuit you mentioned regarding school funding, and I believe the Supreme Court of Ohio did say the funding structure in the state was not constitutional or needed to be changed, and it really hasn't ever changed, has it? They haven't fixed what was addressed in the lawsuit?
I would argue that it has.
Okay.
But, and what's interesting is they never filed another lawsuit making those claims to challenge it again. But some of this also has to do, frankly, with the state Supreme Court rate and the composition of the court, which actually is another interesting thing that's a background issue to think about is there's several state Supreme Court races this fall. Depending on how some of those go, that could change the dynamics of what happens in a lawsuit like this for the good or for the bad.
That is certainly true.
So I think there's a little bit of that that's playing a role in their timing, too.
All right. Well, and one final question before we part company today, Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. If we had more of the voucher programs, if more of these choices were available, would that serve to fix the problems with funding that were identified in that Supreme Court case? Would it be consistent with what the demands were, the obligations were on the state in terms of school funding?
I think it certainly could. I think it depends on how it's done. This, you know, gets very complicated when you look at how state and local taxes work together.
Yeah.
But I think the answer is absolutely it could. And at the end of the day, you know, we need to be thinking about the kids anyway. And I think the answer is yes. And I think the most important thing to continue to look at, as you've been talking about the whole time, is what does it mean for the kids, and not to get trapped into these other arguments that are really just excuses to try to defend the status quo.
Well stated. Greg Lawson, Buckeye Institute. Check them out online. Just it's buckeyeinstitute.org. Again, thank you for spending time, my listeners and me today. I look very much forward to talking with you again throughout the year. When you got other issues coming up, feel free to join the 55 KRC Morning Show and keep us all enlightened. Greg, it's been a pleasure, man. Stay well and a very happy new year to you.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care. Be right back after brief words. Maybe take some phone calls, 749-5500, 800.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.